Welcome to episode 1236 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today, we continue our series, 1010 with Jesus, a deeper look with our chapter, Ripped from the Headlines, in which we examine Jesus's take on topics of contemporary relevance. How can we make sense of what's going on in our world today? How would Jesus respond to or counsel us about the issues that dominate our news feeds? Picture this. Jesus walks into the temple in Jerusalem and sees merchants selling doves at inflated prices to poor families who need them for sacrifice. Money changers are charging excessive fees to convert Roman coins into temple currency. The religious establishment is getting rich off people's desire to worship God. Jesus doesn't call for a committee to study the issue. He doesn't suggest incremental reform. He makes a whip, flips over tables, and drives out the merchants, declaring,
"My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves."
Now imagine Jesus scrolling through Twitter, or X, in 2025. What would provoke that same righteous anger? Corporate executives taking home million-dollar bonuses while their workers need food stamps to survive. Politicians making decisions based on lobbyist dollars rather than human need? Companies pricing life-saving medications beyond the reach of the sick? The question isn't whether Jesus would be political. He absolutely was. The question is, which politics would he embrace? Let's start with something we need to get straight. Jesus was not politically neutral. The idea of separating faith and politics would have been foreign to him. In his time, religion and politics were completely intertwined, and his message was inherently political. But here's what's fascinating. Jesus managed to frustrate every political faction of his day. The zealots wanted him to lead a violent revolution against Rome. In Matthew 26, verse 52, when Peter draws his sword to defend Jesus, Jesus stops him.
"Put your sword back in its place, for all who draw the sword will die by the sword."
Jesus rejected political violence, even in self-defense. The Sadducees, the wealthy religious elite who collaborated with Rome, wanted him to stop disrupting their comfortable arrangement. But Jesus consistently challenged systems that oppressed the poor. In Luke 16, verse 13, he declared,
"You cannot serve both God and money."
The Pharisees wanted him to focus on religious purity and moral rules. Instead, Jesus ate with tax collectors and sinners, healing on the Sabbath and declaring in Matthew 23, verse 23, that they
strain out a gnat, but swallow a camel.
Obsessing over minor rules while ignoring justice and mercy, even his own disciples expected him to restore Israel's political kingdom. But in John 18, verse 36, Jesus told Pilate,
"My kingdom is not of this world."
So how do we apply this to modern politics? Jesus would likely view today's extreme political polarization with the same frustration he showed toward the factions of his day. In Mark 9, verse 40, he said,
"Whoever is not against us is for us."
He consistently sought to build bridges rather than deepen divisions. Look at how he handled the ultimate political hot potato of his time, paying taxes to the oppressive Roman regime. In Matthew 22, when asked whether Jews should pay taxes to Caesar, Jesus didn't give a simple yes or no. He asked for a coin, pointed to Caesar's image on it, and said,
"Give back to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's."
This wasn't political fence sitting. This was Jesus refusing to let people use him for their political agendas while establishing a principle. We have obligations to earthly governments, but our ultimate allegiance belongs to God's kingdom of justice and love. Applied to today's polarization, Jesus would likely condemn the demonization of political opponents. In Matthew 5, verse 44, he commanded,
"Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you."
That's pretty hard to square with the hatred we see across political lines today. What might Jesus' stance be on some of the most vexing political issues of our day? Let's take border security and sanctuary cities. Jesus himself was a refugee as a child and taught radical hospitality to strangers. His approach would likely emphasize welcoming the vulnerable over security concerns. This doesn't mean Jesus would ignore legitimate security concerns, but his bias was clearly toward protecting the vulnerable rather than protecting the comfortable. In today's debate, Jesus would likely ask,
"Are we making decisions based on love or fear? Are we protecting the powerful or the powerless?"
Jesus' approach to international conflict was radically different from typical political responses. In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, verse 39, he taught,
"Do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also."
This wasn't passive resignation. This was active, nonviolent resistance. In that culture, being slapped on the right cheek meant being backhanded by someone who considered you inferior. Turning the other cheek forced the attacker to either stop or hit you as an equal. Jesus consistently taught that the cycle of violence could only be broken by refusing to participate in it. In Matthew 5, verse 44, he went even further.
"Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you."
Applying this to foreign policy, Jesus would likely be deeply skeptical of military interventions, even those justified as protecting the innocent. He'd probably ask,
"Have we exhausted every nonviolent option? Are we sure this won't create more violence than it prevents? Are we acting out of love for the oppressed or anger at the oppressor?"
This doesn't mean Jesus was naive about evil. He clearly recognized it. But his solution was always to overcome evil with good, not to defeat evil with superior force. If you want to understand Jesus's politics, look at where he spent his time and who he lifted up. Jesus had a consistent pattern. He sided with the marginalized, challenged the powerful, and turned social hierarchies upside down. What about LGBTQ+ rights and transgender issues? I know this topic makes many Christians uncomfortable, and the Bible is clear that God's ideal for human sexuality is expressed within marriage between a man and a woman, as outlined in Genesis 1, verse 27, and Genesis 2, 24. However, let's look at how Jesus treated all people, including those who were marginalized by society. In Matthew 19, verse 12, Jesus spoke about eunuchs, men who were castrated, often serving in royal courts or born with physical conditions that set them apart. In that culture, eunuchs were socially marginalized and excluded from full participation in religious life under Old Testament law. Yet Jesus acknowledged them with compassion. He offers grace first, relationship first, and doesn't make moral perfection a prerequisite for acceptance. In Luke 7, Jesus allows a woman with a reputation, likely a prostitute, to anoint his feet with expensive perfume. The religious leaders are scandalized, but Jesus defends her and forgives her sins. Jesus consistently reached out to people that religious society had rejected. His pattern was inclusion first, transformation through relationship, not exclusion until transformation. Applied to LGBTQ+ issues today, Jesus would likely prioritize the dignity and inclusion of people who have been marginalized by religious communities. He'd probably be more concerned with how the church treats LGBTQ+ individuals than with debates about sexual ethics. The debate over how we teach about race and racism would not be foreign to Jesus. He lived in a multi-ethnic society where Jews, Samaritans, Romans, and Greeks all had complex relationships shaped by history, power, and prejudice. How would Jesus respond to critical race theory? Jesus would likely support honest examination of how racism and ethnic prejudice have shaped history and continue to affect society. Note what he says in Matthew 23, verse 27, to religious leaders.
"You are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and of all impurity."
He'd probably say the same about societies that claim equality while perpetuating systemic injustice. In a world desperate for a clear political vision, Jesus offers something profoundly different. He doesn't fit neatly into our modern categories of left or right, conservative or liberal. Instead, his politics are the politics of love, justice, and radical inclusion. He challenged every faction of his day, from the revolutionaries to the collaborators, by refusing to be co-opted for their agendas. His allegiance was to a different kind of kingdom, one where the first are last, the powerful serve the powerless, and love for God is inseparable from love for our neighbor. Jesus was political, but his politics were not about gaining power. They were about transforming hearts and systems, one life at a time. The question for us is not, what would Jesus tweet? But what kind of love would Jesus demonstrate in our polarized world? May we have the courage to embody that love. What might Jesus' stance be on issues like affirmative action, criminal justice, and affordable housing? Let's get into some of those issues on our next episode. Father, give us the courage to follow Jesus' example and to align ourselves with your kingdom of justice, mercy, and love. May our lives be a testament to you so that we may truly give back to you what is yours. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.